Our first reading is taken from Nehemiah chapter 8. When the seventh month came and the Israelites had settled in their towns, all the people assembled with one accord in the square before the water gate. They told Ezra, the teacher of the law, to bring out the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded for Israel. So on the first day of the seventh month, Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly, which was made up of men and women, and all who were able to understand. He read it aloud from daybreak till noon, as he faced the square before the water gate, in the presence of the men, women, and others who could understand. And all the people listened attentively to the book of the law. Ezra opened the book. All the people could see him because he was standing above them. And as he opened it, the people all stood up. Ezra praised the Lord, the great God, and all the people lifted their hands and responded, "Amen, Amen." Then they bowed down and worshipped the Lord with their faces to the ground. They read from the book of the law of God, making it clear and giving the meaning so that the people understood what was being read. Then Nehemiah the governor, Ezra the priest and teacher of the law, and the Levites who were instructing the people said to them all, "This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep." For all the people had been weeping as they listened to the words of the law. Nehemiah said, "Go and enjoy choice food and sweet drinks, and send some to those who have nothing prepared. This day is holy to our Lord. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The gospel is taken from Luke chapter 4, verses 14 to 21. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through the whole countryside. He was teaching in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour." Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. He began by saying to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Let's pray. I'll pray a bit of the reading we had from Nehemiah. It says they read from the book of the law of God. So I pray, Lord, that I would make it clear and give the meaning so that the people can understand what was being read. Amen. Dangerous prayer. All right, good morning, everyone. Good to see you. And I shocked Sarah a little earlier by telling her that I knew it was the last Sunday in Epiphany today, so it's time to start putting your Christmas things away if you haven't already. We just about managed to put our things in the loft till next year, but yeah, so it's the last time we'll do those things really till the end of this year. Anyway, so we had two readings this morning, which weren't what I kind of expected for the Epiphany season, but there we are, that's what we had, and I thought, well, they're really good, because I'll focus on those, because they're about two events that happened, I reckon, around about 470 years apart. So that's quite a long time, isn't it? It's longer than any of us have been around here. And if we go back from 2019, that takes us to 1549. And I was too lazy to find out what was going on in 1549, but it was before the internet. Anyway, that's for sure. And it was before Shakespeare, so it's a long time ago, isn't it, really? So a big gap between these two readings. But in a way, they're kind of like parallel Bible passages, really. So in about 440 BC or thereabouts, Ezra, who we heard about in the Nehemiah passage, who was a priest, a teacher and a scribe, so a learned man who knew about these things, he reads the book of the law, the Torah, the Old Testament law, and he does so because the rebuilding of the walls of Jerusalem under Nehemiah's skilled and prayerful leadership had been completed. So they'd finished it, and the people gather to hear the scrolls being read, because they've not heard that for a very, very long time. And then 400 odd years later, in around about 26 AD or thereabouts, Jesus went to the synagogue on the Sabbath as a good Jew, and he read to those present in his hometown from the prophet Isaiah. So we've got two kind of parallel stories. So my first point, really, to get on with this, is that it's important to proclaim God's scripture publicly. Both Ezra was doing that on a specially built platform, and Jesus was doing it in the synagogue when he was given the opportunity to do so. But it's important to proclaim scripture publicly. Both Ezra's reading of the law and Jesus' reading from the prophet Isaiah had a powerful impact. Ezra read the law to people who could understand it. It said men, women and others. Not quite sure what that means, but there we are. There were some others there, apart from men and women, who could understand it. But the impact of it was great. As we heard, it made them weep. And it caused them to bow down and worship. Quite amazing, considering that they came to hearing the word proclaimed in that way, quite cold, but in difficult circumstances, even though they'd managed to secure the city. God's law proclaimed in that setting did exactly what the New Testament tells us, and revealed their failure. The New Testament says the law is there to show us our failure, to show us how we don't keep the commandments. And it did exactly that. It revealed their failure to keep God's law to the people. It brought conviction of sin. That's what the weeping was about. It brought repentance, which means a change of mind and direction, as Louisa pointed out. I think it was last week or the week before. They changed their hearts and their minds as a result of hearing God's word proclaimed to them. It was a powerful event. But people who were there, they were safe enough and secure enough in the new walls of Jerusalem to reopen their hearts and minds to God. And in a way, their hearts and minds would have been fairly closed to God until that point. And yet, once the walls were rebuilt, they could feel safe and secure in the place that God had shown them many, many years before. And they could open their hearts and minds to Him. So that's what happened all those years ago in Jerusalem. And then we have Jesus, of course. Jesus, the carpenter's son, reading what was probably the lectionary reading for the day, not from the law, but from the prophets. And this was to the assembled Jews in Nazareth. And he read this out and said, in effect, "This is all about me." As with Ezra, his words had a powerful effect. And a profound effect on them. In his case, it wasn't quite the same as Ezra's. There was stunned silence to start with, and all eyes were on Jesus, because they wanted to see what he was going to say or do next. If you read on in the passage past where Frieda read to, you'll see that amazement and speaking well of him in verse 22 turns by verse 28 and a few verses later to being furious and driving Jesus out of town and trying to kill him. How fickle were they? And why? Why did that happen? Well, because he had been quoting and explaining their own scriptures to them. And they didn't like it. It was too powerful for them. God's powerful word. So let's us not underestimate God's word. To bring this up to date a little bit, from the line from Ezra to Jesus to us, just to say, if you don't know this, that scripture is still read aloud, not only in churches like this, but also in the street in Normanton on a Saturday morning. Does anybody know that? That our friend Bill Sayer, who's at New Life, every Saturday morning, with a small faithful band of a few people, goes out onto the street opposite Pack Foods in Normanton. Anybody seen him there on a Saturday morning, 10 till 12? No? Well, I'm going to challenge you in a minute, but he goes out there with a small, and has done, I think his wife said, since 2002. It's a long time, isn't it? 16, 17 years. He's been going out there faithfully every time he's available and can go. On a Saturday morning, he will go. And what they don't preach, they don't say anything else, they just read aloud from Scripture. And they have some leaflets, and they'll get into conversation with people on the back of that. Just outside the bank, opposite Pack Foods, you'll see them there on Saturday morning, rain, shine, cold, or whatever. And that is about proclaiming the Scriptures and asking that God will open people's ears to hear that. So I challenge you, if you're there, go and give Bill and the small team there a word of encouragement on a Saturday morning. I did go and join them quite a lot of years ago. I did go and join them for a few Saturdays, just to sort of be there and actually read the Scriptures. And I do remember the experience of just reading the Scripture aloud in the street. It's worth doing. So what I would challenge us to do is, yes, it's important that we as part of our church life do read the Scriptures aloud, but I would challenge us really to proclaim the Scripture where you are. And even if you live on your own, or you don't have a sort of convenient street to go and proclaim the Scriptures on, proclaim it in your own home. Read the Scriptures aloud in your own home. Declare to the principalities and powers the power of the Word of God by reading it aloud and declaring it and proclaiming it to the air and the principalities and powers that are around us. Raise up the standard of the Word of God where you are, at home and wherever you get the opportunity to do it. It's a powerful thing to do. And there's many, many testimonies of people whose lives have been transformed just by hearing the Word of God. Let's not underestimate the power of the Word of God. Second thing. Luke says that Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Holy Spirit. At the synagogue in Nazareth, he then proclaimed from Isaiah 61, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me." That anointing that he then went on to explain from the reading out Isaiah was to preach good news, to proclaim freedom, healing, and God's favour. Now, as I was thinking about this, I thought, well, we don't hear, unless I've missed it, we don't hear much about the importance of anointing. I don't think. Somebody might contradict me afterwards. But I think historically, my understanding is that anointing has been a bit religified, to coin a phrase. And you might, if you read some of the stuff, might read or hear words like unction and chrism used. Very old-fashioned words that we think, what on earth is that? Religious stuff. But anointing is important because in the Old Testament, is what happened to kings. Kings were anointed with oil. There's stories about that. I won't go through, I've got the scriptures here if you want to know afterwards. I'm not going to read them all out or go through every single one. So kings were anointed for their office. Priests were anointed. And even prophets were anointed. There's only one example where it's made clear that that happens, and that's Elijah anointing Elisha. But it was an anointing for kings, priests and prophets. And of course, we understand and we believe that Jesus was a king, a priest and a prophet. So he was anointed in all these ways. And oil was used in anointing also for objects and for social purposes, like giving honour to guests. We read about that if you think about it in Psalm 23. Yeah, remember the anointing in Psalm 23. I won't quote it to you. I can give it to you afterwards. Yes, yeah, so there's lots of other examples of anointing in the Psalms and elsewhere. But then in the New Testament, there's anointing with oil for healing, which we read about, and also figurative anointing. So no oil, but anointed by the Holy Spirit of God for specific purposes. So I'm just going to read a little bit, which I think is good here. Psalm 45, because this is quoted in Hebrews. Psalm 45, verse 6. To 7, says, "Your throne, O God, will last forever and ever. A scepter of justice will be the scepter of your kingdom. Your love, righteousness, and you love righteousness and hate wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has set you above your companions by anointing you with the oil of joy." Anointing you with the oil of joy. And Hebrews 1:9 makes clear that that refers to Jesus. So Christ, the Greek word, and Messiah, Hebrew, means the anointed one. So when we talk about Jesus Christ, we're talking about Jesus, the one who was anointed. God's anointed one. And I think it's clear that though Jesus, the anointed one, was the anointed one, all of us who are believers are also anointed in him. Just, if you're not sure about that, I shall just read you a scripture which gives us that, which is 2 Corinthians 1:21, which says, "Now it is God who makes both us and you stand firm in Christ. He anointed us, set his seal of ownership on us, and put his Spirit in our hearts as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come." So we are anointed figuratively in him, and that's a general anointing as per Jesus, and there's also specific anointing for particular purposes and offices. And as I was thinking about this, I remembered I Am Jesus, and I checked back and realised that it was almost 4 years ago to the week that I was speaking here, and I picked up what Patrick Douglas had said the previous Sunday, I think, when he talked about us all being little Jesuses. Remember that? And I gave out little cards with in the light of that, and in the light of the attack that happened in Paris just before that on the Charlie Hebdo offices, remember, where the terrorists broke in and killed lots of people, and they paraded in the streets saying, "Je suis Charlie, I am Charlie," so that people identified with them. But I said, well, we identify with Jesus, so I produced these little cards saying, "I am Jesus." And remember that, anybody? I didn't realise it was 4 years ago, so I was struggling to remember that, but yes. So the point of that was that in Christ, in the Anointed One, we too are all anointed with all that that means. That might take a bit of working out for us, but ask God. And point three, so that's points one and two. Point three, which is really kind of point 2b really, is that the New Testament reading for the day, which we didn't have, is 1 Corinthians 12. And it's about the familiar image that we have of the body of Christ. So really, the church of Jesus functioning like a body. That's what it's about. Different parts joined together to demonstrate Jesus to the world. And this provides a reminder to us that yes, we are all anointed, but for us, our anointing needs to operate as part of the body. Anointings are not selfish ego trips. Look at me, and I'm anointed for this, and I'm anointed for that. No. So when people do claim anointings, but then get puffed up with themselves and so on, we are right to be sceptical about their anointing, or at least whether they are truly walking in the anointing that God has given them, or they've gone off track somewhere. So I'm not saying that all anointings are just within the church, though some may be. But even those, like the gifts of the Holy Spirit, that are very much for out there, need to be accountable to Christ, the head of the body, and to express the mind and purpose of Christ. That's what they're there for. They're not ego trips for any individuals, but they're there for the body and also for the world out there. So that's just a little caveat to the idea of anointing. But I'm going to summarise there and then pray. So first of all, we just need to remember that declaring and proclaiming the word of God is something that we can all do wherever we are, and it's important to do that. And secondly, in Christ we are all anointed. And thirdly, that any anointing that we do have needs to operate within the body of Christ and to be accountable. And it's not just an ego trip to say how good we are. It's all about Him. So let's pray. Father God, thank you for your word. Help us to declare and proclaim it and stand firm on it, that the world might know that you have spoken and continue to speak today. Give us the courage that we need, the boldness, whatever that might mean for each one of us. And give us the boldness that comes from knowing that we are anointed in Christ. That you have given us all what you gave to Jesus, and even special things for ourselves. But Lord, I pray that you'd help us to use those things for your kingdom's sake and within the body that you have set upon the earth, the body of Christ, your people, your church on earth. So Lord, lead us out. Lead us on, we pray, that we might declare your love and your promises to the world, and that we might live out the life that you have put within us, individually and as part of your body here on earth. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.